I got the little insert for our Easter morning breakfast, and the way Frank did it, I really like it. Come Easter morning to our sunrise service, it will be in our upper room. So I think a new name for up there is, that's our upper room. By the way, that's also where we will have our Monday, Thursday service. So plan on being here for both of those. Be a great time. Listen, I shared for several weeks kind of a series on I Can Only Imagine. Now, at the time I was looking at it and the information I had at the time, it wasn't showing in the Freeport, the theater here, the Lindo in Freeport. It is at the Lindo. And please, I invite you, I ask you, I encourage you to go see it. We went yesterday, and it's a wonderful story, it's a true story, but it speaks to, in a very powerful way, it speaks to what God can do and the healing touch that God can have in people's lives. I would encourage you strongly to go see it. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I guess that's enough said. I won't plug the movie anymore. I hate it when it does that. Okay, it didn't come up, so we're not having it. No, I'm good. I wanted to do something. I wanted us to think today, as we begin to think, that Christ, at this point in his life, knew what was coming. Well, he always knew what was coming. But he's moving in the direction, and he's headed toward those final days and those final hours on the cross. And on his journey, as he heads to Jerusalem for the Passover, he heads into a town called Jericho. And there in Jericho, he meets a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. And we know that's his name because in Mark's account of the story, we hear the name used. Bartimaeus, we'll just call him Bart. His experience with Jesus changed him forever. And thank you, Frank. Sometimes this is a lifesaver. The change in forever is any experience with Jesus will do. We're not the same. So as this happens, and we see this man's life change forever, it's kind of what I'm going to talk about this morning. Now, Stevie Wonder, how many of you know who Stevie Wonder is? Okay, that makes it a lot easier. Guys back in the corner, how many know who Stevie Wonder is? Yeah, okay, right. He's a singer, fellas, okay? He's a singer. He's a blind singer. And Stevie Wonder and Jack Nicklaus, how many of you know Jack Nicklaus? Know who he is? Okay, if you don't know, he's a golfer, a very famous golfer. But anyway, Stevie Wonder and Jack Nicklaus are sitting around the pool one day, and they're talking. Well, inevitably, the conversation turns to golf. And Nicklaus is surprised to find out that Stevie Wonder, who is blind, actually has been playing golf for years and years, and he's been able to do it. The golf pro, Nicklaus, he just can't believe that a blind man can do this. And he wants some details, so Stevie Wonder explains how he plays golf and how he does it. He said, "My caddy stands in the middle of the fairway and calls to me. I listen to the sound of his voice and play the ball towards him. Then, when I get to the ball and the ball lands and I get the caddy moves further on down the green, he shouts out and again I hit the ball and I hit the ball towards him." Nicklaus was extremely impressed, but then he asks, he says, "Well, how do you putt?" And the famous singer replies, "Well, I get my caddy to lean down in front of the hole and to call me with his head on the ground and his mouth just over the cup. And I just play the ball towards his voice." Nicklaus is fascinated by this, and he finds all of this very amazing. And so he asks Wonder if they could play a round of golf sometime. Well, Stevie agrees and says that that he could do that, but he says that the people really don't take him very seriously when it comes, and he only plays golf for money, and he never plays for less than $10,000 a hole. Nicholas thinks about it for a minute and says, okay, so that's serious money, but I'm up for it. When do you want to play? To which Stevie Wonder answers, you name the night. Well, Barry, you can smile. The night, you know. Barb, let them know, will you? Okay. Because that's the best one I've got this morning. Yeah. This morning I do want to talk to you, though, about another blind man. And instead of being a professional golfer or a famous musician, this guy was wiped out by life. Because he was not able to see. He spent days sitting by the fairways and the highways just waiting for somebody to give him a shekel or a piece of bread. And before we meet this blind man, I want to first set up the context for you so you kind of know what's going on. If you're following in your Bible, I'd ask you to turn to Luke chapter 18 and beginning with verse 31 is where we're going to start. And here we read that Jesus is walking to the cross. Understand, his journey has already begun. And Jesus is walking to the cross in order to accomplish what it was that he came to do. Somebody tell me, what did Jesus come to do? It's real simple. He said it himself. I came to seek, very important word, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And Jesus is walking toward the cross to fulfill this part of why he came. Jesus took his 12 aside and told them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. Jesus lays it out. He says, this is what's going to happen. And then it says that his disciples did not understand any of this. They didn't understand his meaning because his meaning was hidden from them, and they didn't know really what Jesus was talking about. This is the third time in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus predicted his impending death. And each time he told them about what was to come, he got more and more explicit. And if you read through the Gospel of Luke, or if you read through the Gospel of Luke, you're going to notice that beginning in chapter 9, of Luke, there's a major shift in Jesus' orientation. There's a major shift. You hit chapter 9, and suddenly Jesus changes. And his orientation and the way he's ministering is something different. And we're introduced to, instead of a teaching motif, we're introduced to a travel motif. Jesus is traveling. His focus now is on the cross. His focus now is Jerusalem. And in the remainder of the book, that's what it talks about. It talks about what he's doing. Verse 9:51, it says this. It says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And we see here that his approaching goal is not only his death and resurrection, but also his ascension. The phrase, resolutely set out for Jerusalem, means that he set his face towards. He set his face towards Jerusalem because that was the place that was going to be the final sacrifice. And so he begins to walk to the cross. If we go on and we look at this, we see in chapter 10, verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village. He's moving. Chapter 13, 22, when Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. You see the purpose here. Jesus is moving. He's making that journey, and it's very real. Chapter 13, verse 33 says, in any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. 17:11, it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And then in 18:31, it says, we are going up to Jerusalem. There is no doubt that Jesus is on a mission. There's no doubt about it. And he's headed to Jerusalem. And the caravan of people that are following him, it grows and grows and grows with each stop. Because when we hit Palm Sunday, something exciting is going to happen. And this group that gathered, these are the ones that are coming to be there for Passover and to celebrate. And they've been following Jesus and heard from Jesus and learned from Jesus. And Jesus is still focused. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem to die. He knew this, and yet his disciples didn't get it. The caravan of people followed and kept growing at each stop. And we see in Luke 18:35 that Jesus is now approaching the city of Jericho. Jericho is about 15 miles from Jerusalem. Jericho is 800 feet below sea level. It has a climate that's more tropical, and at times it's very hot. Actually, Jericho is the first place I ever kissed a camel. I did. It was the last place I ever kissed a camel, too. And I the camel handler gave me a piece of orange. He says, put it in your mouth. I put it in my mouth, and I approached the camel, and the camel came down and kissed me and took the orange. I didn't even get to keep it. But Jericho's a beautiful city. And it's got a lot of vegetation. And even today, it's a very active, touristy type place. The town was known as an oasis because of its freshwater spring. And it's called the City of Palm Trees. It was in Jericho that the pilgrims gathered to make the final leg of the journey to Jerusalem to celebrate the annual Passover feast. 15 miles to go in the hot desert sun. So we come to the oasis, we get rested, we get replenished, hydrated, everything right there because we've got a long walk ahead of us. And the walk from Jericho, 800 feet below sea level, to Jerusalem, that Jerusalem was considered up on a mountain, but what they call mountains, I don't, but that's what they referred to it as. It's a long walk, it's a hard walk. Now, as I try to understand this incredible encounter between Bart and Jesus, I actually see four different things or four different stages that Bart goes through. It's in Jericho, by the way, backing up, that Jesus meets Bart. And again, we know that his name is Bart because of Mark's account of the story. But there's four stages that Bart goes through. First is his blindness. In verse 35, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside and begging. Blindness was a very common problem in Palestine. Generally, one who was blind was never healed. Now, in the city of Lydda, the saying was that everyone was either blind or had one eye. In Jaffa, there were 500 blind people in a population of 5,000. While Leviticus 19:14 establishes that God's people were to care for those who were blind, there was always a cultural and religious stigma against blindness. There had to be a reason for this. It was something wrong, either your sin or somebody else's sin, some family member's sin, or your parents. There's a sense in which those who were blind deserved their blindness. You earned it somehow. You did something, and that kept people away. And many people thought that this disease was a consequence of sin, either of the individual or because of something the parents did. And as a result, blind people were often ignored, even castigated from society. And because this man was blind, he was relegated to a life of begging. That's all he could do. Remember, we talked that people with different functions and different diseases there at the time of Christ, how they were outcast. We talked about the woman, and she was bleeding, and what was her status in society? She was an outcast. The bleeding, the blind, the hurting. Isn't it interesting that they're the ones that call out to Jesus? Remember a wee little man? Name Zacchaeus, and he had a spiritual emptiness inside of him that he knew the only hope, the only thing he could have would be Jesus that could change it. I love the song because Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but and Jesus looks at him and says, "Zacchaeus, you come down because I'm coming to your house today." And in that, you know, Zacchaeus is changed. But we see these people who are the outcasts. And they're crying out to Jesus. And Bart was no different. He was just a beggar. And he's just sitting there waiting for something to happen because there was nothing he could do to improve his condition. I tell you what, folks. This is really a word picture for very often our spiritual condition. Isn't it? 2 Corinthians 4:4 states that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. Folks, do we have people blinded in our society today? They don't see the gospel. They don't understand the gospel. They don't listen to the gospel. And you know what? It can be you too. We can be spiritually blind, and there's nothing that we can do to change it on our own. Life has reached such a point with us that we're just blind. Oh, I see the word, I hear the message, and it goes in the ears, but I just don't feel it. Now, by the way, I hate to talk about the presence of Jesus or the presence of the Holy Spirit as a feeling, because it's not. It's the presence of, it's the existence of. Feelings pass, okay? God doesn't. And when we hear this message and we have the spiritual blindness that may be in us, and we may be blinded because of situations in our life or something, God can heal that, but it's more than a feeling. It's the knowledge that a living God has touched you and made a difference, and your life is changed forever. You don't have to continue to walk with whatever the blindness is that exists in your life. You don't have to. God makes a difference. Just as Jesus gives sight to those who are physically blind, so too he grants spiritual insight to those who are in moral darkness. The man knew he was blind, and so he did. So did everyone else. And you know, some of you are maybe trying to act like you're not, but spiritually you are blind this morning. And maybe you try to put up a good front, but inside you know the truth. Man, I'm not as close to God as I once was. Something's missing, and that blindness is there. Well, the first thing that you need to do is to admit that you are just as blind in a spiritual sense as this man was in a physical sense. Take a look at verse 36. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What is happening?" This man was smart. He knew that there would be a mass of people in Jericho that day preparing to make the final journey to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And that's why he was sitting on the side of the road with his hand out. He couldn't see what was happening, but he could hear a commotion and excitement. And so he's curious. He wants to know what's going on, what's happening. Perhaps he heard some unusual comments about a healer who was headed to Jerusalem. Verse 37 gives us the answer to his question. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and Bart's head begins to race. Could it be that this person that he had heard of before was right here in front of him? It's almost too good to believe. He's a healer, and he's healed others. And here I am, I'm on the side of the road, but I can't see him, but I know he's here and he's coming by, and maybe, just maybe, he will heal me. So we ask who it is, and the answer is given. Could it be that that person he'd heard of would heal him? Well, the second thing I see with Bart here was his belief. The first stage was Bart's blindness. He had blindness, and it was a physical blindness. We have spiritual blindness, folks. We have those areas in our life where we've not really let God take control, let God be a part of it. Some of us, it's possible that some are here that have never even said, God, come into my life and be a part of my life. Jesus, I need you every moment, every day to be the Lord of my life, that I can follow you and that you can lead me through this world, that I'd have the sight to see. And that the blindness that is in my heart that keeps me down would be taken away. Bart, though, believed. Second stage, or the second thing that you notice is that. And notice how Bart addresses Jesus in verse 38. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd referred to the earthly heritage of Jesus. And the crowd was saying, Jesus of Nazareth. And that's how they referred to him. And really all that is it just lets us know that Jesus grew up in Nazareth. And it's like saying that Dennis from Illinois, you know, it tells you a lot about me. It tells you that I like corn and I like the Chicago Bears, like all true Illinoisans do. Easy now, don't boo my Bears. But it doesn't tell you everything about me. And instead of calling Jesus as the guy from Nazareth, Bart expresses his messianic heritage. He is the son of David, the one who the Old Testament has been pointing to as the Savior of the world. And this blind man can see that Jesus is more than just a man. He's blind! But he can see that Jesus is more than just a blind man from a small town in the north. He is the God-man sent from heaven to be the Savior of the world. You know, related to this, I wonder if Bart was aware of what the Son of David had accomplished in the lives of other people. Maybe he had heard of Jesus giving sight to other blind people. Perhaps he heard that Jesus said in Luke 4:18, when he stood up in the temple and read from the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover the sight of the blind. And when Bart called out for the Son of David to have mercy on him, he was expressing a belief that Jesus was the Messiah and that he could heal his blindness. We knew who Jesus was, or he knew who Jesus was, and he also knew what Jesus could do for him. Here's the question. Do you know, in whatever area of spiritual blindness you might have, do you know what Jesus can do for you? He's done it before. He's reached out to you, and he's worked in that area of blindness in whatever area it was, and he said, come to me. Come to me, and your eyes will be open. Your heart would be filled. The blindness that may exist, do you know who Jesus is? Really know who Jesus is? As we see him walking through Jericho, do you know who Jesus is? Do you realize where he was headed and what he was headed to? I, for myself, I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be spat upon, I'm going to be cursed, I'm going to be nailed to a cross, I'm going to be crucified. I'm sorry, I'm going the other way. Do you know who Jesus is? He's going to the cross. And he's at a point in his life that he knows what is coming. Well, he also knows the end, because he's Jesus. And in your heart, do you know? Do you know who Jesus is and what he can do? And when Bart called out for the Son of David to have mercy, he was expressing his belief. And he knew what Jesus could do. If he can restore the sight of the blind, he can grant you the deepest longing of your heart. Do you believe that? Somebody say amen if you do. Amen. There's nothing he can't do. Whatever it is, he can do it. And sometimes, folks, sometimes we, like Bart, need to just cry out and say, Jesus, give me mercy. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on what's going on and the blindness that exists within me. Do you know who Jesus is? He's much more than just a good teacher. He's the promised one. He's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Bart was very aware of his blindness, and his belief in Jesus was right on. But he did more than just believe. Listen to this, because this is an important part. He did more than just believe. He acted on what he knew to be true by his boldness. Boldness. When you know and you see what Jesus can do, and when you believe, you can be bold. When was the last time you were bold for Jesus? When was the last time you were bold for the cross, and you stepped up and you said, listen, this is what God says. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus can do, and I'm not going to hide it anymore, because Jesus is the Lord of all, and he's the Lord of my life, and you want to know why I am? The way I am is because God is in me, and please forgive my failings, because that's not what God wants me to do, because I'm human. I fail, but I believe in Jesus. And boldly, Bart proclaims, even though he's blind, even though he's not had an encounter, even though he doesn't know, Bart proclaims that Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of David, the coming Messiah. And he knows that he needs mercy, because there's nothing that he could do on his own. Look at your own life. And whatever that situation is, wherever you are spiritually blind right now, Jesus can help. And you can boldly proclaim what he does and who he is. Bart knew this, and he knew he could do nothing on his own. And so he called out to Jesus, the Son of David, for mercy. That's what he needed. In the first part of verse 39, we see that the crowd of people are bothered by the blind believing Bart. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. And the people who were leading the way may have been important officials in Jericho. They wanted Jesus and his followers to see how beautiful their community was, and they were probably embarrassed and even irritated when they heard Bart cry out for mercy. They wanted to shut him up, and they told him, knock it off! Be quiet! And I love the second half of the verse. But he shouted all the more, Son of David! Have mercy on me. This guy was really bold, and he was really courageous. And he chose to not listen to the crowd, and he shouted out even louder than the first time, and he broke all the cultural rules of etiquette. He didn't want Jesus to get away. I can relate to that. I don't want Jesus to get away. He didn't want Jesus to get away, and he chose to not listen to the crowd. This was his chance. It was his chance to receive some mercy and possibly some sight. What about us? In our boldness, can we call out to Jesus, knowing that he will show mercy on us? And then in those areas that we're blind, he will open our eyes? I do wonder if you and I have the same kind of boldness and courage when it comes to calling for divine help. Maybe we don't because we really don't understand our condition of blindness. Or maybe we don't because we don't believe Jesus can really do anything about it. If I can't figure it out, how can Jesus? If I don't have the answer, how can Jesus? This is my problem, and I got myself into it. Jesus can't take care of it because I can't take care of it. And listen, folks, people move in that direction. I believe Jesus can take care of all things. I believe there's nothing he cannot do and nothing he will not do. We got to be bold. Or maybe you think less of Jesus than you should. If you saw yourself in the dark, and if you saw yourself as Bart did, you too would shout for Jesus to change you. Hebrews 4:16 says, this is the King James Version now, and it tells us to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Boldly before the throne of grace. That means I walk right up to Jesus there at that throne of grace. I say, Jesus, this is my problem. I can't get through it myself. This is a problem in my life. There's a blindness that is existent here. And Jesus, I need you to show mercy and to take me through this. And then our eyes are opened. And Jesus takes it from us. And I'm telling you, folks, believe me. And more than that, believe what Scripture says. Jesus will heal it. He will put it together. He will take away that blindness, and he will fill you with himself so that you don't have to walk in the darkness, and suddenly your life begins to look better, and you don't know how it's happening, but it is happening. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Don't hold back or be afraid to give yourself to Jesus. Come to him boldly and with confidence. Let him know what you need. And that's what he's waiting for. And he will reward you with mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. As a result of Bart's boldness, verse 40 says that Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Mark 10:50 tells us that Bart threw his cloak aside and jumped to his feet. Now, this blind man didn't know if anybody was around him or not, but he jumped to his feet. And can you imagine how the crowd must have felt, especially the ones that had rebuked Bart? I kind of picture everything getting real quiet because now Jesus is in control. And people are looking at Bart, and then they're looking at Jesus. Bart, Jesus. And Jesus orders some guys, and maybe it's the same ones that rebuked Bart, to help him walk through the crowd so that he's face-to-face with the Messiah. He can't see him, but he's face-to-face with him, and he knows it. Folks, sometimes we're face-to-face with Jesus, and sometimes our blindness keeps us from seeing him, and he's just standing there saying to us, your faith has healed you. The question Jesus then asked Bart is very interesting. I look at verse 41. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, everyone in this room this morning, Jesus is there and he's saying, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? That's Jesus. Jesus knew what Bart wanted. But he asked the question for Bart's sake and for the crowd of people who had gathered around. And he wanted Bart to verbalize what it was that he wanted. I love Bart's answer. I really do. Lord, I want to see. Lord, I want to see. That's a cry from our heart at times. I'm very serious. No matter how long you've walked with him, there's times when you still need to come to him and say, Lord, I want to see. You just got to do it. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Have you ever put into words the cry of your heart? Have you ever verbalized your deepest needs? Have you ever shouted out for mercy to have Jesus save you from your sins? If not, folks, Jesus is waiting for you to exhibit some boldness and to ask him for what you need. James 4:2 says that we have not because we ask not. At the very least, my guess is that some of you have never asked Jesus to demonstrate his mercy to you by saving you from his sins. Maybe some haven't. Or maybe it's been a long time ago and you've forgotten about it, and so you still find yourself in this spiritual darkness. And it ties into the last point from the passage. Once we admit our blindness and place our belief in Jesus as our only Savior and Lord, we can then be bold in our requests. That then leads to the fourth thing that happens. Because after all of this, we receive a blessing. We receive a blessing. And here's the blessing. Verse 42, we read, Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Here's a spiritual principle you should never forget. Jesus always responds to faith. Okay? Jesus always responds to faith. And he says to this man who has been blind, this man who has been a beggar, this man who has been sitting and an outcast from society, "Your faith has healed you." Jesus always responds to faith. He received his Bart, got his sight back. And people who exhibit faith, no matter how small it is, and cry out for mercy, Jesus is going to be there. He loves to answer prayers like that by healing us from the inside out and granting us spiritual insight as he moves us out of the darkness. Verse 43 tells us that immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. And when Bart got his sight back, he couldn't help but break out into praise. He was thrilled. Think about this. This man has been blind all his life, and he's been an outcast in society, and suddenly Jesus heals him. Think of how excited that is. And we're that way. We have the blindness in us that keeps us from being as close to God as we should. And we cry out, we say, "Jesus, have mercy on us and answer our prayer." And we believe that you can do it, and you're the only one that can do it, and you're the answer to the problems that the world has. And Lord, we trust you for that. And the faith comes out. And Jesus says, "I will take care of this." And he takes care of it. Do we shut up? Do we hide it? What do we do with that? All too often, we keep it to ourselves. All too often. All too often, we fail to celebrate even the tiniest of things that Jesus does. This blind man cries out, and he's excited. And he followed, and he praised, and people followed, and they praised. Put it in different terms to help us maybe see how it applies today. Conversion leads to discipleship, which leads to worship, which spills over into evangelism. Bart went from darkness into light, and from begging to following, and from crying to praising. His blessing then led to the blessing of others, and they were all led into worship. because of his faith, the faith that this blind man had, how many people's eyes were opened in that moment? They're following Jesus. They know Bart is blind. They know he's been blind. They know he's an outcast and all of these other things. All of a sudden, he can see, and they're like, this is real. He healed him. And they start praising God and thanking God because Jesus, the Messiah, is with them, and they're walking with him, and they're celebrating and rejoicing. Can you imagine what the rest of the walk to Jerusalem is going to be like? As Jesus is heading to his death. But Jesus is not heading to his death saying, woe is me, woe is me. He's heading to his death saying, I'm about my Father's business. And we're blessed, folks. We are blessed by God in order to bless others so that all the nations will worship God. Bart the blind man became Bart the believer. He recognized his blindness. He exhibited his belief by crying out with boldness and then received a blessing which spilled over into others' lives. That's so cool. Bart experienced four things. He experienced a change of focus from darkness to the light. That's conversion. A change of direction from sitting to following. That's discipleship. A change of purpose from begging to praising. That's worship. And a change of scope was blessed in order to bless others. That's evangelism. Friends, God wants us to recognize our blindness and to beef up our belief in who Jesus is. He then wants us to exhibit some boldness by asking him for mercy so that he can receive a blessing and we can receive a blessing that can be passed on to others. That is from darkness to light. Have you ever experienced true darkness? Now, a definition of true darkness is a total absence of light. Seems stupid, doesn't it? What's darkness? Total absence of light. Very few people have the opportunity to truly experience this. Back when I worked for the state, I was studying bats, and bats like to live in caves. And I remember one of the caves down in central Illinois that I went into, and we were literally on our hands and knees and on our bellies pulling our way back into the back of this cave, and we had these little lights on our head, and that's all we had for light. And we got back in the very deepest part of the cave where no light is ever shown. And we turned the lights off. We said, let's try this. And so in different spots in this big dark room, we turned the lights off. And we were in darkness. And it was total darkness. And that darkness pierced your soul. It pierced your heart. Even though you knew there were others there. And you're in that darkness and you're just feeling it. You put your hand here and you can't see your hand. That's darkness, and that's blindness, and it's a terrible feeling. It's a horrible feeling, and I couldn't wait to turn my light back on, but everybody had to experience this, so we had to give everybody time, the others in the team that were working, and it closed in on me, and finally, I got to turn my light on, and when I turned the light on, it was so different. And the fear was gone, and the light was the blessing. The light was the blessing. Folks, we walk in darkness, and we miss it, and we fail to see that. Do you recognize that maybe you're in the dark, and you're trapped in a cave? And that cave is full of sin and there's no way out? Do you know that you need some help? Do you believe that Jesus can help you? Do you have faith in who he is and in what he can do for you? If not, I can share story after story after story how Jesus has worked in people's lives today. Not just in the time of Christ with Bart, but he's still working in lives today. Are you willing to boldly ask Jesus for the help that you so desperately need? Are you ready to go against the crowd and against your peers in order to find out what you've been searching for? I experienced in that cave the joy of finally being able to see. And folks, I was blessed. I experienced in my life that day that I finally said, Jesus, come in. The light came on, and I was blessed. And I remember that day because there were others around me that were also blessed as they saw that Jesus had taken my life and was with me. Are you praising God with your walk and with your talk so that others are drawn to Jesus? Are you using your blessing to bless others? The blind man, he sees the moment. And Jesus is passing by right now in our lives. Right now. At this very moment. And Jesus is doing a work in this sanctuary. And I know that there's some here that have some blindness, some darkness that they need to just let go of. This is the moment that you can seize this moment. And just as the crowds tried to keep Bart from Jesus, so too the crowds in your life are trying to keep you from him. Satan would love nothing better than to keep you in darkness and keep you from being released to the light. Because there's something there. There's that darkness, that blindness that's existing somewhere inside. You may know Jesus, you may have received Jesus as Savior and Lord, but there's something you've allowed to creep into your life, some blindness that is keeping you from being as close to him as you should be. What could it be? Could it be others that might ridicule you? Could it be society? Could it be family that might make fun of you? Whatever it is, Satan knows how to use these things to keep us from moving out of the darkness and into the light. And this, folks, is your chance. Because Jesus is at work and he's moving through this room and he's saying, here I am. And just like I put my hand here in that cave and it was total darkness and I couldn't see my hand, Jesus may be standing right in front of you. And you just can't see him. Because the darkness is too great. And you're not yet willing to let go of the darkness. Your choice today is, do you continue to let that darkness consume you? Or do you allow Jesus to heal? He looked at Bart and he said, your faith has healed you. This is the moment. And if you don't take it, you'll miss something extraordinary in your spiritual, and your spiritual blindness will continue. Just as the crowds tried to keep Bart from coming to Jesus, something's holding you back. Go against the grain. Cry out for mercy. Cry out for healing. Boldly express your belief in Jesus by recognizing your blindness, so that you can receive a blessing that spills over to others. I hadn't planned this, but I want to give us an opportunity today, and I'm going to ask Sherry to move to the piano, or Karen, or one of you, somebody move to the piano. And I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. And what I want to do, we don't do this often, but I want to give you the opportunity this morning, whatever it is, whatever darkness exists within you, whatever blindness there is, I invite you this morning to come to kneel at this altar and just pray. That's all I'm asking you to do. Come and talk to God. Have a minute with him. For some, that might be a very uncomfortable thing. But let me tell you, there's freedom. There's freedom when you allow him to strip away the darkness. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. Would you come? Would you step out? And just say, here I am, Lord. I've nothing to be ashamed of. I, I need you, and I need to let go of these things in my life and the places where I'm blind. Jesus, I come and I give this to you. I remember years ago, and it was Billy Graham and his Crusades did a song, and it was a beautiful song, but it's called Just As I Am. And the song and the words of the song, Just As I Am, without one plea, but by God's grace, you saved me. And the words are beautiful, and I just remember them. You come as you are, kneel at the altar. Lord, you know my blindness. You know where I'm weak. You know where I need help. Some have boldly come today. And right now they're entered into communion with God that is beyond anything you can imagine. I remember a time in my life when I sat in a congregation, I sat in a service similar to this. And I felt God tugging at my heart. He says, Dennis, you need to get up there. And I just wanted to hold off. I wanted to stay back. I was almost embarrassed to go forward. But I went forward. And you know what? My life has never been the same. Where are you at? What is it that holds you back and keeps you from surrendering everything to Jesus? This is your time. And this is your moment. Won't you come? Old Bart was blind. That was his problem. He really couldn't see. Bart believed. He believed that Jesus was the only hope he had. And then in boldness, Bart cried out, Jesus, Jesus, help me. And maybe he's still crying out to you today. I don't want to close this. If there's somebody that wants to come and pray, this altar is open. And after the boldness, there was a blessing. A blessing beyond what anybody would have expected. Bart the beggar was rejoicing because Jesus had healed him. Boldness. And following the boldness is the blessing. I'll give you one more moment here. If you're there and you would like to come and just kneel at the altar and have a time of prayer with God, I want to ask you to come. This is your private moment. I'm not going to interrupt. I'm not going to interfere. I will be praying with you and for you. If at a point you feel that you need to talk, I'm here and I'm happy to talk with you. Jesus is asking you the question this morning. What do you want me to do for you? What is it? It's what he said to Bart. What do you want me to do for you? Barry and Jean, would you... I'm going to ask you to come and pray for these that are praying at this time. Just pray with them. And now, just in silence, those who are seated in this sanctuary, would you do the same? Just pray. we sang a song this morning, and I don't remember all the words to it. I really don't, but it was something about here I am, or here we are, battered and broken. I don't remember the words, but that's us. So let's pray together. Here we are, God, your children, your rebellion children that we kind of sneak off on our own and do things and get into things and allow life to kind of jerk us around. Through it all, you look at us and you say, here I am. Don't let it break you down. Don't let it destroy you, because I'm here to help you. And as you worked with the blind man and Jesus said his faith had healed him, the same faith that we have heals us from the blindness that might exist within us. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for the coming week as we begin to move into that time of Christ moving into the city victoriously, facing the cross, yet he moves that way. Lord, we thank you for those who have prayed today, and I just ask they receive that blessing, that blessing would be shared with others, that we all might rejoice together. We give this to you in Jesus' name.